Well, let's just go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you so much that you've been with us this week, and I pray that you would continue to be with us. And I just pray that you would speak your words through me, and that you would reach the hearts of everyone present here. Amen. I do not feel ready for this, but I'm going to be talking about one aspect of redemption. I'm sure it's a very big subject and I don't know everything, but I guess it's like just for a little bit of an introduction. Redemption is like when we as sinners are lost and hopeless and we can't do anything right. We can't do what we want to do. We can't do what we should do. And we're just failing and miserable and empty and hopeless. And we come to God. We fall at the cross and we say, "Forgive me, I'm a sinner, I need your help." And he redeems us. And he gives us victory and he puts his own beauty in us where we had ugliness and yuckiness, and he makes us, he redeems our person from hell. So that's kind of what redemption is. But I'm going to talk about a little bit of a different aspect of it, how God can redeem your personal disaster. Let's read, or let's turn to John 11, starting with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. That's as far as we need to read. But I guess you can kind of picture yourself in this situation. It was a pretty hopeless situation. I mean, he died. And as soon as Jesus got there, they both, Mary and Martha both say, you know, why didn't you come? He's already dead. It's pretty much hopeless now. And he said, just believe. Jesus wanted to redeem their situation. But he waited till it seemed like it was too late. Because he got more glory that way. And he needs to be glorified. And he probably also waited because he was teaching them to trust him, not to doubt when things go wrong. And I guess I would like to just apply it to our lives. Whatever it is that has gone wrong in your life, something that happened to you, something that somebody said to you, something that, just whatever it is, things happen that hurt very bad. Somebody dies, or maybe it's not something that traumatic, maybe it's even worse. But whatever it is, something very painful can happen. And it can leave us feeling hopeless, like, Lord, why didn't you come? And they said in one place, couldn't he have caused that even this man should not have died? Like, why did he let him die? He did so many other miracles. And they're all standing there saying, like, wow, I thought he could have saved him. And Jesus could have. But he had a bigger plan than just saving him. Because if he had gone while he was still sick and healed him, all those other people wouldn't have been there, and they wouldn't have seen the miracle that he did. If you are feeling at this point like hope is gone, You might be right. Humanly speaking, it probably is. But we're not talking about humans. We're talking about God. And it's never too late. There's never a time when all hope is gone when you're serving Him. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him." I guess we can turn there to get some of the background of what happened there. So Asa was the king, and there came another king that started like building a wall outside his city so that they could take them. And it says, Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Mehim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So God was waiting for Asa to call out to him, and he would have given him that whole army. But he didn't call out to God. He went and figured it out himself. But he lost the victory. It says that God is looking for someone whose heart is perfect towards him. But the story tells us what that means. When Asa fought that first battle, he relied on the Lord, and God delivered the whole army into his hand. And that's what it's saying, to have a perfect heart towards him. You're not relying on yourself. You're not going about to get to make things happen the way you think they should. You just call out to God because you know you can't do it. And then God is waiting to show himself strong in your behalf. In Joel 2, starting at verse 12, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a feast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the The ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into the land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. I guess my challenge to you today is, turn over that situation, whatever it is, to God. It says right here, Turn ye even to me with all your heart. That's what God wants you to do. That's what he's waiting for. I guess just a little example from my own life. Where I spoke before about how broken I was. And I was so afraid to let God have control of the situation. Because I was terrified that if I give him control of it, he's going to make something happen that I don't want. And it came down to the point where I just simply couldn't take the stress anymore. Because I was at the point where I say, God, you can do anything with this situation, but just don't do this one thing. And that is not surrender. And when I actually came to the place where I fully said, you can take it and you can do whatever you want with it, even this thing that I cannot even bear the thought of, I'm yours. I'm following you. If you do that, I'm still going to follow you. And it was not but 2 weeks or so later that God started to redeem the situation. I think he was waiting for me to actually surrender before my heart was perfect towards him. If you're still hanging on to a shred of it, saying, I just have to have it this way, then your heart's not perfect with him, because you're still running around hiring the whoever they were, the other army, to fight your battles, that you're not relying on God. And I am just challenging you to actually give that piece of ground to God and let him prove himself. And I'm not telling you that the moment you give him that piece of ground that he's going to redeem it the way you want. It doesn't always happen that way. But it says, rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. He's not seeking your hurt. And when you give him your situation, he is going to bring the best thing out of it. And if any of you guys are anything like me, you have loads of fear inside of you. Maybe you're still holding on to your profession. You're still saying, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I believe God. But you are so full of fear that you've lost your joy and you've lost your hope. And at that point, it seems like it's hardly reality anymore that you're a Christian. You're just barely hanging on. And I don't say that to crush anyone, but I say that to help you see where you're at, to actually let go of your heart. Our heart is the only thing we have that is actually ours. It's the only thing that we have that we like desperately want to protect. And it's not wrong to protect your heart, but God says that he is our protection and he will protect us. And we really have no power to protect ourselves even if we try. So in my life, it was fear keeping me from giving my whole heart to him. I'm like, what if he hurts me again? What if, you name it, you know what your worst fear is. What if he does that? And in some cases, he might. But if he does, it's going to be okay. And he's going to be with you. And that's the most important thing. I guess you kind of have to, if you are in that situation, you have to come back to just like you got saved, where you lay yourself down at the cross and say, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, I need you to redeem me. That's what you have to do the same thing with your situation. Just give it over 100%. I'm going to follow you, and please take care of this, because it's way out of control. Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation is wide open. God is waiting. But there is a condition. You must take his yoke on your shoulders. He must be Lord. You can't just give him your problem and yet think you're going to do your own thing. He has to be Lord. But he will make your burden light. It's a promise. And maybe you don't believe it right now, but that is where faith comes in. You have to believe that God's word is true, even when it doesn't seem like it is. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. I would just like to ask you the question, is Jesus standing outside your door? And it's easy for you to say, no, no, I got saved a long time ago. I let him into my heart. But if there is even one door in your heart that's closed to him, you haven't let him in. You have to open all the doors, because it's the door that you're keeping closed that he wants in. And my challenge is just open that door, the one that you're trying to keep closed, that you don't want anyone to see and that you don't want anyone to touch. Open that door and let the Savior come in. Give him full permission to redeem your situation. He can do it, and he will do it, and he's waiting to do it. I guess I just want to stress, let him prove himself, because he is who he says he is. Otherwise, there's no point in us being Christians at all. You're probably scared to death. That's okay. Give that to him too. And just keep doing what's right. And let him prove himself. And he will prove faithful. And he will prove true. And when you come to the other side of that trouble that you're in, you're going to look back and you're going to say, he was faithful. And he was true. And what he said was true. And it's going to be okay then. And I guess ultimately, one day, all of us are going to bow before him and we're going to confess him Lord. We're going to confess that he was right, that everything he did was right. We're not going to stand before him and say, but God, you did this to me and that just ruined my life forever. I could never get over it. That is not going to fly. He's going to have an answer. It says he will overcome when he is judged. He's going to have an answer that's going to silence all of us. And we're going to bow and say, you were right. And I guess I'm challenging you to admit that he's right now, because if you wait until you stand before him, it's going to be too late. You're still going to confess him Lord. But if you have to do it, then he's not your Lord. So, just let him in. Open the door. He is waiting. And he will redeem your situation. However he thinks is best, because he does love you and he wants to make you better. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word, and I just pray that if there's anybody here that needs to open their heart to you, I just pray that you would help them to do it. Give them the grace to let you take control, to let you prove yourself. I pray that you would fill us all with a sense of your love, that we would know that you care about us so that we can trust our lives with you. And I pray that you would heal the brokenness of the hearts that are here and help us to be better Christians from here on out. In Jesus' name, amen.